We're number one. I'm number one. I did it. I have a victory. You know, it's wonderful to rejoice in a victory, isn't it? But you have to be very, very careful. Let him that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. One of the things that you need to remember is if you have a victory and you belong to God, then the credit goes to God. Because why? You're crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live, yet not you. But Christ lives in you, and he shares his glory with no man. This is what we're going to see as we look at the life of David. David to a great triumph. He has brought down the Philistine. And what happens as he comes home? What is the song that is sung? And what could it do to David if he didn't keep his head screwed on right? If he didn't remember that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Well, this is what we want to look at because we want to see what David goes through, how he handles this victory so that you and I can know and understand what we are to do when we celebrate, when we have won, when we are number one, or when our name shows up in the paper, or our name shows up in the church bulletin, or something happens and we write a book and all of a sudden it's on the bestseller list. I'm telling you, beloved, victory is sweet and it is wonderful, but it is also dangerous and we have to be careful. So this is what we want to look at as we open the Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Now that's 1 Samuel chapter 18. We are finally out of 1 Samuel chapter 17, but we are not finished with studying David the king, David who has been anointed as king and who has not yet taken his throne. God is taking him through some experiences to prove him, to test him, and to prepare him for what God has ahead. And you know what? God does the same thing for you and me, or through you and me, or in you and me. God has a plan for your life, beloved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us this, that when we come to know Jesus Christ, that we're saved by grace through faith, and that even that faith is not of ourselves. It is a gift from God. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. But he goes on to say, and we forget this verse so often, in verse 10, that we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God has ordained for us, has foreordained, planned before the foundation of the world, that God has foreordained for us to walk in. God has a plan for David's life. God has a purpose for David's life. God has chosen him because he has seen his heart. He has seen that he is a man after his own heart. But now, as David comes from this great, great victory, what happens? Well, let's look at it. First of all, he's approached by Jonathan, by the king's son, just one of the king's sons. And so as we come, and I'm not prepared, I don't have my Bible open, so give me a minute. So as we come to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1, this is what it says. Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul. Now remember, Saul has Abner bring David before him. He can't remember who David's father is. And David says, I am the son of your servant, Jesse, the Bethlehemite. In other words, he's the man that lives in Bethlehem. They were often identified by the city that they lived in. And so it says, now he came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as himself. I mean, here was a man that had inspired and aspired love in Jonathan for him. Is this a homosexual relationship? As many will tell you, no, it's not homosexual at all. Because David was a man after God's own heart. And David believed the word of God. And Jonathan did too. Jonathan was a man who really love God. And you're going to see that as we go through. But Jonathan is just drawn to the soul of David. He has seen, here's another valiant warrior. We know that Jonathan was a valiant warrior because we have watched Jonathan beside his father. We have watched Jonathan accomplish great feats on the battlefield as we have studied 1 Samuel before, as we have studied the first part of 1 Samuel. And so Jonathan does something that's very unusual. Saul took David that day and did not let him return to his father's house. He says, you're not going to go home. You're going to move in permanently. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Now, later on, we're going to look at that covenant, but I don't want to stop there because I want to look at this victory that David has had. So we'll come back to this later. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword, his bow, and his belt. Now, let's just stop and think about what that looked like. All right, here is Saul the king. Here is Jonathan, his son. Here is triumphant David. And as Jonathan looks at David, I mean, his soul is drawn to him. He loves this man. He loves what he has seen. He loves his bravery. He loves his heroism. He loves the fact that he believed God and that he trusted God. He loves the fact that he went out and he delivered the children of Israel from this Philistine. And so he's so moved that the king's son, now I want you to understand, this is the king's son, takes off his robe and puts it on David. He takes off his sword, which is with his belt, his bow and his belt, and he puts it around David's waist. And when he does that, he is making a covenant, a solemn binding agreement with David. Now, like I told you, we're going to look at that later. But I just want you to see what happened. What happened is very heady, very, very heady. I mean, can you imagine being invited to the White House? Can you imagine not only being invited to the White House in a group of people, which I've had the privilege of doing, not because the president knew who I was, but because other people knew who I was and got me invited to this one particular thing. But it's not being just invited to the White House, but it's being introduced to the family of the president. It's being introduced to the wife. It's being brought into the, so to speak, the family quarters. I mean, it is a heady thing. And if you're not careful, you begin to get impressed with yourself and with the fact of where you are. So this is what he does for David. And remember our last principle that we were looking at, and I gave it to you right at the tail end of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And that last and sixth principle of dealing with the Goliath in your life was this, to not allow victory to go to your head, but to remember where victory comes from, to remember that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by his spirit. Because the minute that you start to think, hey, look at what I've done. Hey, look at what I've accomplished. Hey, man, look at my clothes. Do you like my clothes? This, you know, whose robe, you know where I got this from? Excuse me, but it belongs to the son of the king. You know, and then, you like my armor, you like my belt, you like my bow, you know, and he's talking about bows that you put in arrows, and you like my sword. Ask me where I got it. Can you believe it? It belongs to the king's son. This common young boy entered into a covenant with him. And he's the one that suggested it. I didn't suggest it. He just liked me and he just invited me. And you know, no, you don't see any of that with David. You don't see anything like that at all. You know why? Because David knows his God. And you know that from reading the Psalms that he wrote before he ever came to this status in life. David knows that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. You say, I wish you would tell me where that is. I will. It's in Zechariah chapter 4. So let's go in our Bibles to Zechariah chapter 4. You say, where is Zechariah? Good question. It's the second to last book in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament ends with Malachi or Malachi, the Italian prophet. Okay. And the book before it is Zechariah. The book after Malachi is Matthew. So it's the second to last book. And in Zechariah chapter 4, and I really want you to go there. I really want you to see it with your own eyes, because remember, the whole purpose of this program is to take you through the Bible book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, to teach you the whole counsel of God, to help you study God's word for yourself, so that you can know truth for yourself, so that you can discover it for yourself, and so that you can know that you know. And this is why I want you to go to our website, preceptsforlife.com, preceptsforlife.com, and download the study guide if you haven't done it. And find out all about us, and find out if you want to become part of this ministry, because we would love to have you be part of this ministry. We're looking for people who are looking for truth. All right, now, in Zechariah chapter 4, in Zechariah chapter 4, the angel is speaking to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now he's giving Zerubbabel this message, because Zerubbabel is standing there and he is going to have to build the temple again. And he's going to have to put down the top stone on the temple. And I mean, it's a very difficult times, and it's hard to motivate the people and to get them to rebuild the temple. And so he wants them to know, you're going to do it, Zerubbabel, but it's not going to be by might, and it's not going to be by power. It's going to be by my spirit, says the Lord. And he says, what are you, O great mountain? What are you, O great obstacle? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. He will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. In other words, you're going to accomplish your purpose, and you're going to accomplish your purpose not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. We'll talk about it more right after this announcement.
On the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
For studying. Thank you for hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to memorize Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Because if you will remember that, then you won't take glory and you won't take victory to yourself, because you'll know that it's not something that you accomplished, but something that God accomplished through you. Okay, so let's go now to 1 Samuel chapter 18. And they have made a covenant. We're going to explain that covenant. And those of you that have studied with me are saying, okay, Kay, you can't go past that. You've got to tell them what it means. And I'm going to, but not today. Okay? So 1 Samuel chapter 18. You've studied covenant. You've done our covenant course. And you know that it is absolutely life-changing. Everybody tells me it should be a required course, Christianity 101. And if you want information on how to get that, just go to preceptsforlife.com and you can download, or you can get a hold of our catalog, and you can order the covenant course. And I promise you that if you'll do it, especially if you'll get a group of people to do it with you, you're going to be awed at what you learn. I mean, it is absolutely revolutionary, and it's revolutionary because it's truth and we put it all together. Well, it says, so David, verse 5 of 1 Samuel 18, went out wherever Saul sent him, and he prospered. And Saul set him over the men of war. And it was pleasing in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. I mean, this man is the hero of the hour. Let me ask you a question. Is there someone else that is the hero of the hour, and it's not you? And are you jealous? Be careful of that. We'll talk about it later. Watch what happens. And it says, it happened as they were coming when David returned from killing the Philistine. When David returned from killing the Philistine. You're right. You've studied with me. You know that you need to mark that. You know you need to put that brown box around it. But David is coming back from war. Now, he is the conquering hero. He has brought down the Philistine. Jonathan has given him his robe, his sword, his bow, his belt. He has been made in charge of a group of men. He's coming home the conquering hero. And it says, when David returned from killing the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel. It's kind of like, do you ever watch those war movies, or you watch the History Channel and you see what happens when our troops have moved into a city that has been besieged by the Germans or besieged by the Russians or whatever, and the Americans come and women are out there in the streets and they're handing them flowers and they're reaching up and they're kissing men. I mean, they're the heroes of the day. They even stop the tanks and the armored division because they can't get through because the people are so excited. Well, this is what's happening as David is coming home from war. Now, remember, he has come from this area that is outside of Jerusalem. He is coming to where Saul is, all right, and it's Saul of Gibeah. All right, so he's coming home with Saul, and as they come home, all the people are flocking out of the cities. And it says, all the women are coming out singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines. You can just picture them with those tambourines in their hands and singing and dancing, and with joy and with musical instruments. And the women sang as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Uh-oh, there's a problem here. Saul has slain his thousands, they're singing to Saul. But David has slain his 10,000s. All of a sudden, here's the king. And what has happened is David has been put in a position as a greater hero than the king. Now remember, Saul was a valiant warrior, but Saul did not go out and face the Philistine. And so this is what they sing. Then Saul became very angry for this saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they've ascribed thousands. Now, what more can he have but the kingdom? All of a sudden, this man is overcome by jealousy. And we're going to look at jealousy. We're going to spend one program looking at jealousy so that you can understand what jealousy does to a person. Okay, but we're not going to do it today because I want you to get this point. So Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. Now it came about in the next day that an evil spirit from God, you say, what? An evil spirit from God. Right, if you're doing the homework, you're to mark evil spirits. So I put a black cloud around it and I shaded it a light black so that I could see that this is an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul. And he raved in the midst of the house. And while David was playing the harp with his hand as usual, because remember, David has done this before, and a spear was in Saul's hand, Saul hurled the spear. I mean, there was a spear there. He picked up that spear and he just hurled it at David. And when he hurled it at David, he thought, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped from his presence twice. This didn't just happen once. It happened twice. Okay. Now Saul was afraid of David. Why? For the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. We're going to go back and pick all this up. But today your lesson is this, that victory belongs to the Lord, that God shares his glory with no man, that you have to remember that you cannot let pride creep in when you've had a victory. That's when you're very, very vulnerable, is when you've had a victory, and you can't let pride creep in. So watch what happens. The Lord is with him. It's obvious that the Lord is with him. It's obvious that the women have all come out of the cities and they're singing that David has killed his 10,000s. He is wearing the robe of Jonathan. He has his sword. He has his bow. He has his belt. I mean, he couldn't be on a higher level. And then it says, therefore Saul removed him from his presence. Saul said, get him out of this house. And he appointed him as a commander of 1,000. And he went out and he came in before the people. And David was prospering in all of his ways, for the Lord was with him. It says, when Saul saw that he was prospering greatly, he dreaded him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, and he went out and came in before them. Then Saul said to David, here's my older daughter, Merib. I will give you her as a wife. Only be a valiant man for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul thought, my hand does not need to be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him. In other words, I made you commander. I'm going to give you my daughter. That's another elevation. And I'm going to give you my daughter, because he thought, you know, I can't spear him. I can't nail him to the wall. I'll let the Philistines do it. But David said to Saul, now, this is where you see his humility. But David said to Saul, who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be the king's son-in-law? No, I don't deserve it. I don't merit it. I am nothing. And so he does not take Merib. This shows you his humility. This shows you that he has all of this victory in the proper perspective. It shows you that David knows who he is apart from God, and he knows who he is under the power of God. And because of that, David stays on sure footing. Uzziah, later on, we're going to study him, and we're going to study Hezekiah. We're going to find that when both of those men became strong and when God gave them victory, is when they fell. Now, Hezekiah recovered. I mean, God showed him, hey, you're full of pride. And Hezekiah recovered. Beloved, you can recover. Just remember, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Do you love Kay Arthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic. But you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs. But the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Beloved, you've got a precept for life, and I'm sure that you know it. That precept for life is don't take pride, personal pride, in your victory. Just remember, you've got it. Say it with me. It's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And if it's by His Spirit, then no flesh can glory in God's presence. You have to remember that what you accomplish and what you are is because of what God has done. And you've got to remember that God resists the proud, as James says, but He gives grace to the humble. So anytime you begin to exalt yourself, anytime you begin to lift yourself up, you know what you're becoming like. You're becoming like the one whose pride brought him down and cast him down to the earth. And that was Satan. He was at one time, we believe from Ezekiel and Isaiah, we believe that he was the anointed cherub, full of the sum of beauty and wisdom. And he was before the throne of God. But then he thought, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. Anytime that you exalt yourself above God, God has to bring you down. You know why? Because there's only one who is God. And there is one, only one, who says, I will not share my glory with another. You say, but we beheld Jesus, and He was the glory of the only begotten Son of God. Yes, He was. But you know what? He was equal with the Father. And yet what you see in Jesus' life is this, that He always and only did those things that please the Father. So remember, don't boast in your victories. Don't boast in the arm of flesh. Boast in God. That's the only thing that you can boast in, and that's the only thing you need to boast in. And as long as you boast in God, then God's going to be able to bless you more and more and more and use you more and more. You're going to see this in David's life. Oh, there are such rich lessons for you and I to learn in this book of 1 Samuel and in the book of 2 Samuel. Precepts for life that will give you understanding and enable you to live as more than a conqueror. As more than a conqueror, as you remember that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What's your precept for life? It's Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And if you'll believe that and you'll remember that, then the mountains in your life, the obstacles in your life will become a plain, because God will be able to use you and He will be able to take you through those things, and you'll be saying grace, grace to you. Do it, beloved. Remember, it's Him.
Thank you for watching today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more precepts for life.